It's been a wonderful morning, such a blessing together. Many of us were able to remember the Lord Jesus earlier in the day, and then to be able to just share this together with all of you families, this is so special, and I appreciate how many of you have brought family members this morning. That is wonderful, such an encouragement to see you out here today, and we thank the Lord just for the opportunity to meet together freely and as families and as a church family. We're thankful for that, and we are grateful to all those who have participated, for Ron Murdoch for coordinating everything, and it's just been a real blessed time. Just want to share a few thoughts with you in the closing moments that we have this morning. How many of you were alive in the summer of 1976? How many of you were alive? Most of you were alive, but some of you weren't. We're sorry. There's one little girl, she's really upset she wasn't alive back then. It's your mom's fault. 1976, in July of that year, on the 12th day, the American Broadcasting Company, also known as the ABC Network, put for the first time on the air their TV game show, Family Feud. How many of you remember Family Feud? And maybe you still watch it, because I think it's still probably on the air. If not, they probably show some reruns, if nothing else. But in 1980, the year 1980, 4 years into that show, during the fourth season, some of the descendants of the Hatfield family from West Virginia squared off against descendants of the McCoy family from Kentucky for some good-natured competition and maybe even make a little money on the side. But you know, from 1878 until 1891, there was nothing good-natured about the relationship between these two feuding families whose property holdings were divided by the Tug Fork River. There was animosity between these two families, and that animosity led to passionate feuding. And that passionate feuding resulted in property damage, broken hearts, physical injury, and even death. You know, that's not God's way, is it? That's not God's desire for families to be like the Hatfields and or the McCoys and have that kind of bitterness between families. In fact, in Romans 12:18, we read that God says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And how sad it is as we look around the world today in which we live, we see so many families and family groups at odds with other families and other family groups. And we come right down into the room where we are this morning, and we might look within our own lives. And maybe just as we begin these thoughts here, maybe just pause for a moment and say, what about in a practical way? For me and my family, as much as is possible with us, are we seeking to live peaceably with others? Now, there's a point in which that peaceable living may not be able to go on because the other people, maybe the Hatfields, maybe you're the McCoys, and maybe the Hatfields will not allow you to live at peace with them. But you know, as much as is possible with you. And adults, I think about us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and great-grandparents and the impact, the influence that we are having on our children and our grandchildren and the next generation. When they look at us, what kind of attitude do they see toward others? Do they see an attitude like that of the Lord Jesus who did come and sought to live peaceably with all? Of course, there were those who would not live peaceably with him, as the puppet team showed us and we saw in the video and heard in the song just a few moments ago. Self-centeredness, stubbornness, pride. Some of these things are very real, even in the hearts and lives of those who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we might take a challenge as we read in 2 Corinthians 13:11, where Paul says that we're to be mature, we're to be of good comfort, we're to be of one mind, we're to live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. But this morning, my real attention for the few moments we have is going to be on two other families. They're universal families that are in conflict. If you have a Bible with you, you might want to turn to 1 John chapter 3, because we're going to look just for a few moments at a scripture passage here that's going to lead us to some other scripture passages as we think about two universal families that are going to be identified in this verse. And I might say, as you're turning there, or as you're listening, or both, that you are in one of these two families. In fact, everyone in the world is in one of these two families. There are many families represented here this morning, and we are so thankful for each family that is represented out here. But more importantly, even than that, is to which family do you belong that are identified here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. And read along with me. We read there, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." Now I think even the youngest in this room can probably listen to that verse, and you can identify the two families that were mentioned there by John, who was writing this letter as God the Holy Spirit led him to write what he wrote. The children of God, there's one family. But we also read about the children of the devil. Now, when we go back before there were any human families, when we go back before there was even an earth, as yet none of that had been created, as we read about in Genesis chapter 1. But before that, God had another creation in the sense of angels. God had created angels. Those who were to serve Him, they were spirit beings, and they served God. And they had a wonderful existence there in the presence of God, worshiping Him, seeing Him, serving Him there in eternity past. But we read that there was one angel, Lucifer. His name means the morning star. He was a beautiful angel. He was a musical angel. He was a very important angel, maybe the most important of all the angels in their hierarchy. But we read in Scripture, in Isaiah and Ezekiel, how this beautiful, wonderful, musical angel, Lucifer, chose to rebel against God. And he said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Of course, there's only one God. And there's none like God. And God could not allow such rebellion, and therefore Lucifer was cast out. He no longer was a ministering servant of God. Now he had started, as it were, his own army. And those angels that had followed him, they were thrown out with him. They were in opposition to God. And then God, we read in the book of Genesis and all throughout the Scripture, how God created the heavens and the earth. And we know how He created a man out of the dust of the earth. And then He took from that man's rib and He made a woman for the man. It was Adam and Eve. That's not a surprise to you. You know all about them. And you know how Satan, disguising himself as a serpent, came into that beautiful Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve lived in just having everything they wanted in a perfect environment. And there was only one thing they couldn't do. And they couldn't eat of a particular tree. They couldn't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan, that's how we know him, the devil, the one who had been Lucifer, that beautiful angel, he came into the garden and he came up to Eve and he said, "Eve, did God say this?" See, he cast doubt on what God said. And then when she told him what God said, he said, "Well, let me tell you why God said that. God said that because he doesn't want you to know what he knows. He doesn't want you to be like him. Satan lied to her. He's a liar and the father of lies. And he's still lying today. But Eve fell for that deceit. And she took of that fruit and she ate of that fruit. And she gave it to her husband. And Adam, he knew that he shouldn't do that. And he took the fruit and he ate of it. And they were cast out of the garden. Many years later, when God sent his son, as we saw. And he came to the earth there at Bethlehem. And then he grew up in Nazareth. And as he began his public ministry, one day he spoke to some people who were gathered together, not in a room like this, but probably outside somewhere, and they were listening to him teach. And here's what he said to them: "Ye are of your father the devil." He said, "You're one of those children of the devil that we read about in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. Well, they must have been bank robbers, right? Or maybe they were murderers. Maybe he was in the prison camp and he was talking to those who had broken all the laws of society and they wanted nothing to do with God. That's probably who he was talking about, right? The children of the devil? No, that's not who he was talking about. He was talking to religious men who knew the Bible better than almost everybody of their day. He was talking to religious men who actually carried scriptures tied around their foreheads and on their arms. He was talking to religious people who went 2 days a week without food. He was talking to religious people who gave a tenth of everything they had, even down to the herbs in their garden. He was talking to religious people who tried to separate themselves completely from what they viewed as sinful. That's who he was talking about. And he said to them, these religious people, "You are of your father the devil." Now that's strange for us. That's strange sounding words, but you see, there are only two families, and the Lord Jesus, God the Son, was able to look at their hearts, and that's where he looked. Just like he's looking at my heart this morning, he's looking at your heart this morning, he's looking at the heart of everyone, and he is concerned about us. Because we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 that we need to be careful that nobody deceives us with empty words. "For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Those who are in the family of the devil, they are looking forward to, though they don't know it, many of them, is coming God's wrath against sin. You see, all of us are sinners. The Bible said everyone has sinned. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. The Bible says we all come into this world wanting to go our own way. And we learn that even more. We become prideful. We become stubborn. We become self-centered. All of the very things that cause problems within families and between families, and particularly between us and God. We're all sinners. You see, we all come into the world, not only in our human families, but also we come into the world in the family of the devil. And the Lord Jesus would look at us and say, "Ye are of your father the devil." That's what he told to those people. He said, "Your father, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning." "I'm not a murderer." The Lord Jesus said, "You know, if you hate somebody, you've committed murder in your heart." The Lord Jesus looks on the heart. But the Lord Jesus, he desires that everyone not be in the family of the devil, but he said, "I want you to be in the family of God." That's the other family that's referred to in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. I love Romans 9:26. It says, "It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." Do you know that everyone in the world has the opportunity through the Lord Jesus Christ to be brought out of the family of the devil into the family of God? And you see here in chapter 3 and verse 10, we went on and we read, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." And many people will read that and say, okay, if I start doing what is right and I start loving my brother, then I'll be a child of God. That's not what the verse says. The verse says, in this, the children of God are manifest. He says, here's how they're revealed. This is not how you become a child of God. This is the evidence that you can look at someone else and say, they know the Lord Jesus too. Because they are desiring, they're not perfect, but they're seeking to do what is right according to God. They are seeking to love those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, even the ones who aren't that lovely. Galatians 3:26 tells us about how we get into the family of God. It's a very simple little verse. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You see, we get into the family of God by faith. We are born into His family by recognizing that, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I do deserve to be separated from God. Yes, I do deserve eternal punishment. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, died on the cross of Calvary, as the Bible says, and as the deans quoted, He died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And then He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And I believe on Him. I receive Him. John, who was used by God to write this, also wrote back in the Gospel of John that the Lord Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Isn't that wonderful? That if we will receive the Lord Jesus as Savior and we will believe on Him and turn away from whatever else it was we were trusting to somehow make us right with God, and we say, that won't work. Only the Lord Jesus. I want Him to be my Savior. I want to be forgiven of all of my sins, whether they've been few or many, whether you're young or you're old, or anywhere in between. That's what God desires. And you know, right where you sit now, you can say silently, you don't have to say it out loud. Just tell God, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell, and there's nothing I can do. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You see, He's talking here about those righteous things that we do after we receive the Lord Jesus that show that we're truly of Him. Not by what we try to do to be saved. We can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we can tell God, save me. I'm trusting Your Son for salvation and nothing else. Take my life and make me a new creation. God makes the invitation. In fact, you've got an invitation today to go to lunch. We're going to give thanks for the food in just a moment. And you're welcome to leave this room, go across the parking lot, up to the activities building. You can go inside, and I assure you, there will not be anybody there trying to take money from you. Now, if they are, they're wrong, all right? Don't give them the money. The meal is free. It's an invitation. Come and eat. The Lord Jesus said, come to me if you're thirsty. And you'll thirst no more, the Lord Jesus said, spiritually. We have another gift for you this morning. I'm going to ask, there's some fellows back near the back. They're going to go. They know who they are. They're going to go to the back, and there's a couple guys going to come to these front doors, some of the young fellows. And we have one of these little card holders for everybody here this morning. It's Shannon Hills Bible Chapel on the outside, and inside it's got some Bible verses. It says, "Welcome, please keep this Growing in Grace scripture verse packet as a reminder of your visit with us. God bless you." There are scripture verses on the little cards in these little card holders. You can take that, put it in your pocketbook, put it in your pocket, keep it on your desk, whatever, and it's got scripture. There are a number of different ones, about 12 scriptures in each one. This is a gift for you. Now, as you walk out the door, these young fellows are going to be standing there, and they're going to offer you one. Now, it's up to you. If you don't want it, you don't have to take it. You know, that's just like salvation. God is going to force no one to come to His Son for salvation. Now, there is coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. But for those who do that after they die or after the Lord Jesus comes back and they've had the opportunity already, it'll be too late. That won't be an opportunity to be forgiven of your sins, to be saved, to be brought into the family of God. Those who leave this life in the family of the devil remain with him for all eternity in the lake of fire. Those who leave this life in the family of God remain with God forever in heaven. We'd love to talk more with you about that after the meeting, during lunch. We'd love to do that, but you don't have to wait. You can ask God right now. As we pray and we thank him for his son, we thank him for you, and we thank him for the food we're going to eat. Again, as you go out, please take one of those little packets, head on up to the gym, and we're going to have a great time of fellowship and food this afternoon. Thank you for being here. Dear Lord, we praise your name for who you are. We thank you, Father, that you have seen fit to make it possible for us to be in your family. Father, we shudder to think that there may be some here this morning who are in the family of the devil. Lord, they're probably not murderers or thieves in that sense. They're probably not doing the things that we often think of as sin. But Lord, you tell us that even what we think that's evil is sin. And Father, they may be religious people, just like those in the days of Jesus when he said, "You're of your father, the devil." Might they recognize their condition before you and receive your son, the Lord Jesus. Believe on him for everlasting life. Might this be the day. If they're not sure, might they talk to some of us. And Lord, those of us who know you personally, we thank you. We know it's all of your grace. It's nothing we've done. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. Father, it's a free gift, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for these scripture verses we're going to hand out. Use them to bless our lives and strengthen us and draw us closer to you. Father, thank you for the food you provided. Bless it to our bodies and bless the fellowship. Thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Invite you to go and again, pick up. Make sure you get one of those as you go out. The Lord bless you.